Georgia Virtue presents the Let Me Tell You Why You're Wrong podcast.
Thank you for downloading episode 316. This week, we have Jimmy Carter 2.0. Trump's floundering in the Sunshine State. C's get degrees. SCOTUS hears the immunity claim. And AD gets in deep with AI. Watch that ammo. I'm Ron Burgundy. And the worst person at a horrible job. I'm Dave Roberts. With me is my part of this endeavor, Ken Pullen.
Feels like it's been a quiet week of news. Our last week was kind of quiet. Not a lot of huge stories out there.
No, we got repetitive stories.
Yeah, we did.
We got the plug and play stories.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of weird. Weird week. I was actually out in Dallas last week. I went to a Corn Ferry event, golf event, which is a which is the junior or minor leagues for the PGA Tour. And played in a pro-am last Wednesday. It was a blast. Dallas is a pretty good town. I haven't been out there much, but went right around the stadium both days and stayed over in that Arlington area. Yeah, it's nice.
Did you visit Jerry World?
No, I didn't visit Jerry World. Plane got delayed about 3 hours coming back. So set at
and
the
you, and you don't have access to the Sky
don't
Club.
Have
the
access
Sky Club
to
at
Sky
DFW
Club.
Is pretty nice.
So I had a couple $14 beverages.
And that would have paid for getting this guy.
And actually, I sat at this little bar right beside Spirit, where a Spirit plane was taking off. And I'm telling you, that may be the rowdiest. I mean, if you just watch people getting on a Spirit airplane, it is like a big party. This airplane was flying down to Miami, so it was flying from Dallas DFW to Miami, and it was rocking even before it took off.
Yeah, the smells alone that go along with Spirit. is that cheap bourbon and 3 day sweat?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but
lots of pajama pants.
I usually take an aisle seat for some reason. I couldn't get an aisle seat, so I was against the window, almost all the way in the back, and I just huddled against that window and watched a movie and got back home late on Thursday night.
You flew Delta, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not being a snob, but yeah, I pretty much only fly Delta, especially for work trips. If work
well,
fan
it's
for
not,
it.
It's not being a snob. It's supporting your hometown, the number one employer in Atlanta. I mean, for a long time, they were the biggest employer in Atlanta. I've no idea if they still are, but
yeah, and I checked bags. I mean, I had my golf clubs with me, so you know, you almost have. I mean, once you get to a certain status or with the Amex card, you get free checked bags, which on another airline is going to be another $50 or $100 added to your plane ticket.
So don't plus your make, carry on Spirit.
Yeah, plus carry on. Yeah,
well, you can't.
Yeah.
You have to pay for the carry on Spirit.
Yeah, Spirit's too confusing to fly. It's like I want my whatever it costs. I just want it in front of me. I don't want to have to go through all that nickel and diming when I get to the airport.
Yeah, some of the travel sites I follow. You see people like, oh, what you do is you put on, you know, four shirts and two sweaters. I'm like, I'm not doing all
no,
that.
No, we're not doing that. That's too much.
No, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna check my bag, carry my laptop in my backpack.
Yep.
And I do have the SkyMiles Amex, which I just ordered a new one. The reserve card you can opt to have an aluminum card made out of the part of the wing on 747.
Huh. I was going to tell you, TSA, it was amazing because the TSA people in Dallas were totally nicer than the people in Atlanta. I don't know what it is.
Incompetent?
Yeah, I don't know what it is about TSA in Atlanta, but they are just, they're not good people. And almost every other airline or airport I've flown out of, the TSA people are pleasant. It's like they like their job and they want to be there.
And they will cut up with you and everything else?
Yeah, right, right. Not Atlanta. They're like screaming at you in Atlanta. They just are not happy. I don't know. I mean, it's got to be. Look, I've always thought if you're a disgruntled employee, it's because of leadership and your management. So I would say Atlanta's got a poor management structure because the people in Dallas were super nice.
Man, Atlanta, it reminds me of going into induction in the Army. They're walking up and down yelling, shoes
they
off,
are.
And stuff like that. I'm like, and you know, I typically go to the Sky Priority Lane and there's not as much of that. But yeah, you go through the cattle call there, and it's they're drunk with power.
Yep, I know.
Now, so I went to a candidate roundtable on Monday.
Yeah, how was that? We don't have those in Pike County. You know, most of the listeners probably know I'm running for county commissioner, and there's a couple contested races in my county, and nobody decided to put on a form. Honestly, I think it's to protect the incumbents, but I don't want to, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. But yeah, tell me how your form was. Counties that actually have forms, good job.
Well, it's not the county. It's the Women's Republican Party.
Yeah, but somebody had a form, right? Nobody in our county had a form.
Now, it agreed beforehand was not to go after each other, not to call anybody by name. The only time I saw it was a compliment.
Yeah, good for them.
So the school board race, there's a very nice woman who's running against the incumbent. The incumbent has real problems. He's a thin-skinned little bee. Well, he's a big bee because he's probably 400 pounds. He's got me blocked on all the socials. He's got several people. If you disagree with anything that the school board does, he blocks you, which, you, as we know, is a violation of the First Amendment. But he slaughtered this poor girl. I mean, woman. He was throwing red meat to the crowd, and they were eating it like they were on keto.
Really?
Oh yeah, when they're talking about illegals and stuff like that clogging the schools, and he says, well, there's not much we can do at this level because we have to educate kids that live in the county. What we need to do is make a change in Washington and get Joe Biden out of the way.
He's making his race national. I get you. That is a strategy, though. It doesn't matter what. I mean, if you run for dog catcher, you make your race national, then you can win.
He's very well spoken.
Yeah, right.
Very knowledgeable. And has no interest in saving money in the school district, and just continues to increase taxes.
Oh yeah, just blowing money. Yep, blowing money left and right. Yeah,
I've suggested many times going to a 4-day school week, which saves a ton of money. We've seen it in studies all over Georgia, and honestly, all over the country. We're saving money on transportation, food expense, and all that stuff. And then I saw the two candidates arguing about the best way to get more parents to fill out the paperwork to get free lunches. Like, this is a Republican forum.
Yeah.
Feed your own damn kids.
That's kind of how it should be, but that's not how it's.
I think they get federal assistance dollars. So
those are still taxpayer dollars. I mean,
I understand. Like, I'm assuming for the school district, it costs them $1 to prepare a lunch, and they get $1.50 from the feds.
Yep.
That's got to be the scam. That'd be the only way they want more parents to ask for free stuff.
Yeah, I think I've said this before, but a county to my north, Baldwin County, they actually, everybody gets free breakfast and lunch, and then they actually feed the kids during the summer.
So Calhoun is going to that model also.
Yes, they have people that take food out into the community and feed these kids during the summer.
Your own damn kids.
It is just amazing that we think.
Look, anybody who qualifies for free lunch should also qualify for food stamps. And so we're already giving you free food.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't take your lazy ass down to Walmart or Kroger or Publix or A&P. I don't care. Piggly Wiggly. And go get some ramen damn noodles to feed your kids.
I mean, it's no responsibility whatsoever.
But anyway, the early guy
voting,
who's
running. So, yeah, I was going to say early voting starts today. So I know you were talking about the election. But
yeah.
It feels like it is amazing that early voting is starting in April for a May 21st election.
I know.
I mean, we are 3 weeks of early voting. I know there's two Saturdays of early voting in the county I'm living in. So it's literally 17 days of voting you have plus election day. That's wild. I mean, it's expensive too for counties to do that.
And then the runoffs.
Yeah, and then the runoffs. Yeah, we'll have a runoff.
It'll be early voting for the runoffs, yeah.
Because Congressional District 3 is down here. You know, we've got all the guys running for CD3 to represent Drew Ferguson. Drew Ferguson was retiring. So we'll definitely have a runoff down here.
Oh, yeah, you will. You're running like 8 wide.
Yes.
We had a guy who's running against my post-commissioner, Keith Dunn. He's a good dude, friend of mine. But this guy running against him, I don't know who. I have an idea who put him up to it. But one, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He looks like an idiot. He was chewing gum on stage. And then when he's talking about house prices, that we have to protect the property values, and that if you're not in an HOA, the county should pass ordinances. So basically talking about curb appeal. that if they don't like the way your lawn's cut, if you have a cracked driveway, if you're missing shingles on your roof, the county will come by and fine you.
Interesting. Like,
hey, doofus, you know this is a Republican small government meeting, right?
Yeah, I saw where Georgia, I don't think we've ever talked about this, but Georgia passed a bill this last session around property tax increases where the local county has to put it up for a vote, a referendum vote in November. But if it passes, then the county can't raise the evaluations on your home more than 3% a year is what it is. Because what they've seen, I mean, you've seen it too, right? Our home evaluations have gone up tremendously. And it's been kind of a backdoor way to raise taxes on people because the county commissioners will say, well, we didn't raise the millage rate. But at the same time, the valuations went up 50%. So there's 50% more money coming into the county. So if this local counties pass this, the valuations won't be able to go up to 3% a year.
I have a cure for this. Take the ad valorem tax, pay it all when you buy it like you do a car.
Yeah, there needs to be something different. I'm big on freezing property tax values. I would freeze it when you bought your home if I had it.
Exactly right. If
you buy your house for $300,000, then your assessment's going to be $300,000 until you sell that house. If it sells for $500,000, then that resets what the evaluation is.
Right. Exactly right.
Now people go, that's not fair because your neighbor could be paying, you know, valuating $500,000 and you $300,000, but hell, I bought my house 20 years ago. So, I mean, I'm not worried. That's my neighbor's fault for buying her house for $500,000 years later. We've got to pick on the county I live in.
You don't pay income tax on unrealized gains.
No, you don't do it on stocks either. I mean, if I buy a stock for $100,000,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes up to $200,000. I'm not paying it on a $200,000, not paying anything until I sell it. So,
right. Yeah, I think there's got to be a better way. And you can't claim any loss until you sell it.
Right. Exactly.
So now what we're saying is people will lose their minds in a declining market like we saw in 07, 08.
Yeah, they could. Yep.
Where I bought the house for $500,000. Now it's worth $200,000, but I'm still paying tax at $500,000.
Yeah, but you're going to declare that loss if you sell it. There's no system that's perfect, but what the system we got now is definitely not good. Because you can't, there's this dual way that your property taxes can increase. And I don't think anybody likes this backdoor way.
Consumption tax.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like any property tax, but.
Tax. But the problem is,
but there's so many rural counties, you got to figure out how to split it then at the state level, which is more difficult.
Jeff Fuller is the guy I was talking about. Actually talked about that. He goes, if it were up to me, we'd go 100% consumption. And of course, my mind went to, the problem with that is I can decide where to go shopping.
Yeah. I mean, what happens in a rural county that's got no business? Like what, you're at the whims of what goes on up under the gold dome to allocate funds to your local county.
They're still buying gas.
I know,
they're still getting Amazon and all that stuff.
Just not enough to run a county, though.
Well, the problem is if Cobb does not go to a consumption tax, keeps the property tax, and they're at 7%, and then Paulding goes up to 12% to eliminate the school tax on homeowners, well, I mean, I'd be a fool to buy, especially big ticket items, inside Paulding County. You know, that's a 5% swing. And how much equipment that I buy, the dollar value of the equipment that I buy, that's a 5% is a lot.
Yep. No, it is.
So what the hell were the Falcons thinking on first day of the draft?
I don't think I've seen a guy outside of the general manager of the Falcons think this was a good pick. I mean, I don't see anybody says this was a good pick. This was a huge surprise. They took University of Washington's quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. This is after signing Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million contract last month, and he came out of free agency. So you just got a new quarterback. Now, he's older. Kirk Cousins has been there a while.
And injury-prone.
Injury-prone. But this Michael Penix Jr. guy is 25 years old, so he's one of the older kids to come out of college. And picked him with the 8th pick. I mean, almost everybody in the league said they could have got him with their 2nd pick. If they want to.
I was thinking second round.
Yes.
If not that, move back.
I know. And they didn't even tell Kirk Cousins about this. So Kirk Cousins was kind of flabbergasted. He said he wasn't told. He was shocked and disappointed. And he said, we had no idea this was coming.
Well, they're going to sit him for several years.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's what everybody's saying. He's 25 now. If Kirk Cousins plays 2 to 3 years, the guy could be 29 before he sees his first snap. And that's pretty old as a rookie quarterback at that point. So, yeah, and you could see the owner of the Falcons. Like, he went up to a general manager, and they were having sort of a heated discussion on this. Like, this was a surprise to everybody, even the owner. And I don't know how you pick somebody 8 and you don't tell the owner who you're picking.
But why not move back and get two second-round picks?
You trade the 8th pick if you don't.
But they need edge rushers. Look, this kid is great in the pocket. He's great under pressure. He has a cannon for an arm. His problem is the aiming mechanism on his cannon isn't all that good. Overthrows guys, underthrows guys, behind guys. And look, in college, you get away with it. In the pros, if you throw behind a receiver, I mean, that's going 6 points the other way.
Now, look, if Kirk Cousins goes out in the first game this year and gets injured and this guy comes in and leads him to the Super Bowl, the general manager will be the smartest guy ever. But, yeah, this is a weird pick.
Speaking of Super Bowl, quarterbacks that led the Falcons to a Super Bowl, Matt Ryan signed a contract with the Falcons for one day.
Yep, I saw that. Good for him. Yeah, I like that.
That was a very nice video that he did, and I thought it was very, very classy of both the Falcons organization and of Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan wanted to retire as a Falcon.
Yep, I thought that was good.
So I thought that was very nice. When I first saw that he was back in Flowery Branch, I'm like, is he coming on as a quarterback's coach or something?
I know, exactly.
I mean, he's going to back up Kirk Cousins? I mean,
no, good for him.
He's one of the good guys in football. Just no one has anything bad to say about him other than, couldn't win the big one.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it.
All right. So Jimmy Carter 2.0, welcome to stagflation. The reason I say this, we have stagflation, huge inflation, and problems with Iran. I mean, if he could actually complete a sentence, he would sound like Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, and this was coming off news on Wednesday morning that the economy grew at its slowest pace in nearly 2 years. They were expecting a first quarter GDP of 2.5%, and GDP came in at 1.6%. So it came in almost an entire point below what it should have. Yes, and I don't know if you saw the stock market last week. It has since recovered, but it went down. I think the Dow went down 500 or 600 points. I mean, it was dropping faster than a lead balloon.
And I think people need to evaluate what's going on with their stock portfolio, and this is why. Is your portfolio outgaining inflation?
Yeah, so, who knows what the real rate of inflation is, too. That's
right, because groceries aren't in that number. I've got a friend who's got who ordered a Tesla 3 years ago, finally gave up and bought another truck, and now his Cybertruck is ready. $122,000.
Jeez.
Well, he called me to see if I knew anybody who wanted it. He wasn't going to take possession of it. Just like, here, you've got the reservation, you can have it. He didn't want to make any money. These things are going on eBay Motors for like $180.
Yep.
It's insane. Now it's ugly as homemade sin. But anyway, we're seeing it in vehicles. So the vehicle that you bought in my case, 2018, I bought a 2019, the end of 2018. It's been paid off for a while, but I got it at 2%. And it was a reasonably priced truck. Now, if I were to buy the same truck, Ram Longhorn Edition, 4-wheel drive, double cab, all that stuff, it's $80,000 or $90,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Insane.
No, it's real high. Yep.
And then you're financing it at 8%, 9%, 10% if you finance it.
Yeah, the finance rates are really high now. The Fed, coming into the year, the Fed was supposed to cut interest rates potentially 5 times this year.
Ain't gonna happen.
No, they're talking about zero cuts and potentially another rate increase this year. So they went from cutting 5 times to maybe going up, which is wild to think about that also.
There are CDs.
They don't know what they're doing. I really don't think these people know what they're doing.
Yeah, there are CDs right now paying 6%.
I know, which is really good. Yeah.
6%. I mean, that's insane. I saw an investment opportunity for whiskey. And it pays 12% annually, and it's a 3-year term. But what you're doing is you're financing whiskey makers to while they age their barrels.
Yeah, and 12% a year. I mean, your portfolio doubles in what 72 divided by 12, 6 years if you do that. So
it's up by 50% because you got 3 years of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it's great. I mean,
now it's not FDIC insured and all that stuff.
No, so there's a risk in that, just like any kind of. Yeah,
there's an inherent risk, but every barrel that is financed is insured for the full value, retail value of that barrel.
Yep.
So we had a fire. I think it was in Bond. I can't remember which distillery it was that caught fire, and you know, oddly enough, high test liquor in wood barrels is flammable. But yeah, look, we're seeing what Hank Williams Jr. is saying about. You know, we're getting close to it. The stock market's still up, but you know, interest is up, stock market's down. You don't get mugged if you go downtown.
Yep.
So Trump is having some trouble in the Sunshine State. Now I don't know if I believe the headline all that much.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Apparently,
either.
The polls are tightening to within 2%, within the margin of error.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's that nationwide. I mean, Florida's tight and nationwide it's tight, and they say it's 2 points. Some of this is people are moving to third-party candidates this year. You know, RFK Jr. is taking a little bit of steam. But Trump's up 47% to 45%. They said about 4% said they'd vote for another candidate. 2% said they do not plan to vote. 3% said they do not know or refuse to answer.
I think that 3% goes to Trump.
Yeah,
those are people who don't want to lie, but are embarrassed to say, yeah, I'm voting for the orange man who I voted against 4 years ago.
Yep. And they said 6% of respondents who voted for Biden in 2020 said they will instead vote for Trump in 2024, while 4% of those people will choose a different candidate, pollsters found.
Well, I think Michigan is absolutely in play.
Oh, 100% do.
I think Georgia is going red in this one.
Yeah, I think Florida and Georgia are solid.
Yeah, I think Florida. I really think he flips Michigan. Of course, I was surprised to see Gretchen Whitmer win re-election after the crap she pulled during COVID. I can't believe
they voted for her again. So maybe Michigan doesn't after that. Like, if they'll vote for that Looney Tune, then they'll vote for Biden because Biden's not near as dangerous as she is.
Union members are going for Trump. I mean, even
I
in
saw
New York
that.
City.
Have you seen the New York City stuff? I mean,
oh yeah, they are fed up. They're fed up with the crime. They're fed up with.
I think it's the crime, the inflation. Right? I really do. I think.
And look, Trump is a construction guy. Going back to the 80s, you know, yep. There's old pictures when his hair was still the original color.
And
of him wearing,
wearing
a hard hat and going down and shaking hands with the guys and all that stuff.
And I think they're fed up with these sham trials, too, because people look at this and say, if the government can come after Trump the way they do, they can come after any of us. And, you know, the legal system has been so weaponized against Trump that I really think even moderates are seeing that going, man, they're going after this current trial, the Stormy Daniels trial. This happened in 2015 and 16. This is a criminal case. If he's found guilty, they could sentence him to, you know, the prison in New York. So I just think people are seeing that and going, this is weaponization. And
well, it's
we
not
don't
just
like
that.
It.
Even if what he did was true, it's a misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. Alvin Bragg had to do some legal gymnastics to make this into a felony.
I just don't know how the jury should find him innocent, but I don't know how those jurors do it because everybody's going to know who they are after this trial. And that's what's scary.
Yeah. We are regressing as a society, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You look at, I don't know, old episode of Bonanza or something like that, where the jurors, they all know who the jurors are and all that. They come in the box and go, why aren't you voting guilty? You know he's guilty, and trying to influence him, or you know, 12 Angry Men, this kind of stuff. Where I think the best he can hope for is a hung jury. You know, get one or two that vote not guilty and hang the damn jury.
We read about the people on the jury last week. There's like five or six lawyers on that jury. I didn't realize there were so many. I just don't see how they can find them guilty. I really don't.
In any legal sense, no.
I don't think this trial lasts that long, though. I mean, I don't think there's much defense to this. I mean, I think the prosecution is going to be over in another two or three days.
It is not illegal to enter into an NDA.
I know. This is a sham trial. I mean, it truly is a sham.
Non-compete agreements and non-disclosure agreements happen every day, thousands of times, all over this country.
Yep.
When you leave, especially in financial institutions, you'll sign a non-compete, which basically says whenever you leave, you're not going to go after our clients for at least 2 years or whatever the term is. Same thing would happen if I sold Dr. Cool. I would have to sign a non-compete with whoever bought Dr. Cool to say for the next 5 years, I will not open up another air conditioning company within so many miles of the headquarters of Dr. Cool. It happens all the time. If I sell Dr. Cool, it's going to be enough where I have no interest in opening another air conditioning company. I can assure you.
Yeah, but hold on, before you move on, do you see the, I don't know if you must have missed the non-compete stuff this week. The FTC banned non-compete clauses in the future. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I've been subject to non-competes before from companies that said, just like you said, like I've worked for companies in a certain vertical or certain industry, and they said, you got non-compete, you can't work for another company in this vertical for 2 years after you leave. Now I went out and did, and I said, come get me, right? If you really want to enforce a non-compete. But the FTC said this week that they cannot, companies cannot have non-competes any longer, so, unless you're like high-level executive in the company.
Now, NDAs are almost impossible to enforce in the state of Georgia. That's why you can say, go shove it where the sun don't shine, because it's they are incredibly difficult to enforce. They have to be able to prove that you took company files or something like that.
Yeah, but they're done now.
I always did when I left the bank. I made photocopies of all my client lists and phone numbers and all that stuff. And as soon as I walked in and hung my jacket up in my office in the next bank, I started making phone calls.
I just don't like the non-competes. I never did. But also, I think if a business, this is where the government's getting into telling the business what they can do, what they can't do. If you go work for a company, say it's company ABC, and ABC says, if you come work here and you take our money, then we got this agreement that says you can't work for our competitor for 2 years after that. That's an agreement that you signed with that company. And I'm not sure the government should be involved in that, but also I hate non-competes. So I'm sort of...
There's a place for non-competes, and I would say...
Hey, they're not anymore, though. They're done. Like,
I know. I would say research, like pharmaceutical research.
Yeah. I agree. But what the lady said this week, the FCC, FTC chairman, said we shouldn't put non-competes in for something that might happen in the future. She said there's ways that companies can, like what you just said, like if somebody goes and takes insider information to another company, well, then the company sues that person, right? So she goes, let's don't put non-competes in for hypothetical situations that might happen in the future that hurts everybody. And that made a lot of sense when she said that.
Well, like I said, there's NDAs and there's also non-competes. And non-compete is though it's very similar, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Non-disclosure means you're not going to talk about it. Then that's what I'm talking. That's where I get into Pfizer, something like that, who's developing a new boner pill, whatever.
Is that the first thing that came to your mind?
I just watched a Jonathan Giles, who used to host this podcast, sent me a video of a guy singing about the pills you buy at the gas station. So that's why that came off the top of my head. But yeah, nice. So you could, plus they're moneymakers. So you come out with a new male enhancement pill, and you're 99% done. And you take all your research that you've done that somebody else has been paying you six figures to research. And then you go to, Johnson & Johnson, whatever. You go to another firm and you bring with you that 99%.
Yeah, should be a lawsuit at that point. Yep. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what she said. The court system's there to handle those kind of situations. Yep.
So college kids are morons.
Goodness. These kids, I mean, that's really what started in Columbia University up in New York City, came down to NYU and has now spread to Georgia at Emory. Yeah, I mean, they're protesting Israelis' actions in the war with Hamas. And look, that, to me, I don't know if you've seen all the images, but this is the most staged protest I've ever seen. Up there on the Columbia campus, it's like all brand new tents. This is all George Soros type. And I'm not trying to just say he's the boogeyman, but somebody is funding all these protests because they've got their brand new tents out there. They all came in at the same day. They're bussing people in. Yeah.
Brand new iPhones, brand new iPads.
Exactly.
They are all communicating on the talk of ticks and all that stuff. It's look, this is very coordinated. These are professional victims.
Yep, exactly.
They, and I've said it on the show before, they go from cause to cause to cause to cause. This week it's anti-globalism, or it's protesting the G6 and capitalism, or it's environmentalism, or it's they don't care. It doesn't matter. BLM. These are the same people. They move from cause to cause to cause to bring chaos. Now, the protest that happened in Emory was beautiful because they got away with exactly nothing.
They got lit up too. I don't know if you saw all the stuff, but man, one of those college kids protesting Emory just got tackled by this police officer. And Congressman Mike Collins said the Falcons missed another chance to make a good draft pick, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, look, they gave exactly zero Fs. And look, even Emory said, these aren't our kids. Yep. These are people brought in from elsewhere.
Yep.
And look, the Emory students are pissed. Because that's where their commencement stuff happens, and they're trying to set up camps. Like, no, that's not going to happen here.
Yep, and 28 people were arrested at Emory last week in the protest.
Mary Margaret Oliver.
Yeah, she's a state longtime Democrat state representative. She asked University President George, I can't even say his last name, or Gregory Fenves, to quickly act in requesting that the misdemeanor charges against these protesters who did not engage in undisputed physical attacks be dismissed. I don't know. I mean, you know, I keep saying, I put something on my Facebook page. These kids are paying $65,000 to go to college, and they don't even know what the hell they're protesting for. I mean, I don't know if you saw the two girls been interviewed in New York where they asked her what she was, you know, why she was there. She said, I just came down to protest. And they're like, what are you protesting? She said, I don't know. And then a friend said, maybe we should be more educated on the issues before we protest. It's like, you think?
You ever see PCU, the movie with Jeremy Piven?
I don't know if I have.
All right. So it's supposed to be, it was back in the 90s. It's supposed to be, I don't know, Princeton State or whatever it is, but or Princeton College, whatever it is. But the implication is, politically correct university. And they have protesters that go from cause to cause, exactly the same thing that we're seeing now. And they carry signs in their pockets, and they have the womenists, and it's a comedy.
Right.
But much like Idiocracy, it was prophetic.
Jeez.
That's what's going on in college campuses. It's just, what are we protesting this week? Oh, save the trees. You know, that kind of stuff. So that's what we're seeing, is these kids are just having a good time.
Yeah,
you know, that's all they're doing. They're having a good time. Is they think this is cool, this is fun, and we have a marginalized group. And look, if you protested against Palestinians, and or letting Muslims in, or if you protested against Islam, and made Islamic students afraid to go to class, like the Jewish students are. Making Muslim students skip their commencement because they're afraid of what will happen. You'd be locked up. They'd throw away the key. That'd be done. That wouldn't be a First Amendment issue. Somehow, because they're protesting Israel in Judaism, all of a sudden, that's fine. That's First Amendment. We've got to stay out of their way and let them do their thing. And so much so that there was a story, and I don't know if we talked about it last week, of a Jewish dude who's wearing a yarmulke trying to walk past a protest to go somewhere, and the police told him if he did, they'd arrest him for inciting a riot.
Yep, I saw that. Yep.
It's out of control.
It is totally out of control. This is the future. So, yeah, this is the future though, right? These kids are going from Columbia, New York, NYU, Emory to lead businesses, right, and to take positions of power in companies around the United States. And this is what their beliefs, which is crazy.
And they're proud of being arrested. They're proud of it because they know they're not going to do any time. They're proud of it. And I guarantee that they make their Instagram photo or whatever, their mugshot, and say, I was fighting the man. What man were you fighting?
No, no, exactly.
So SCOTUS is skeptical of Trump's immunity claim.
Yeah, right. This was last year. This case has been argued in front of the Supreme Court. And it's where Trump's, President Trump's lawyers are arguing that he should have immunity against all of these cases going on at the state level and the federal level. So they're arguing that he's got total and absolute immunity from prosecution.
Yeah, the absurd argument that he could send SEAL Team 6 to go and kill a citizen within the United States and be immune from it.
And yeah, his lawyer
you and I were talking before
his
the show.
Lawyer really
is,
stepped in it.
Is that's what Jonathan Swift talked about, eating the poor.
Yep.
Is taking things to its logical but absurd conclusion among string of thinking. Could he send someone to kill a terrorist that was an imminent threat with the United States and not be prosecuted? Probably. Is it right? No. Could he be impeached, thrown out of office? Yes. I think what the framers intended for POTUS was that Congress would hold him accountable.
Yes, right.
So if he stepped out of line, he could be impeached.
Yep.
And hell, Trump was impeached and stood trial for impeachment in the Senate after he left, after he was gone.
Yeah, which is not
President
what,
Biden
which is
was
not
in office.
What the founders envisioned after the fact.
So the misdemeanor they're trying to get is passed in New York. If they can somehow argue it down to a misdemeanor, then it just goes away. The case in Georgia. There's two arguments there. Just the way his attorney went about it. And we were talking before the show. I just think he's running out of attorneys. He's got cases all over the damn country. He's got cases to make sure he's included on the ballot in certain states. He's got cases. He's got a case in Georgia where he's got multiple attorneys working. Case in New York, he's got multiple county attorneys working. Then you got an argument before SCOTUS. I mean, it's insane, and it's a huge burden on him. The damn judge in New York wouldn't even let him go to his son's graduation. How the hell is he supposed to campaign?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I mean, it's gotten out of control.
Well, you got a juror who had a dental appointment. I think it was last Tuesday. Appointment.
I
so they let him out like at 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, he showed up. They were there. They gaveled in. And an alternate juror had a – and now alternate jurors need to be privy to everything that happens. But alternate juror had a dental problem. So they adjourn court. But Trump can't let his lawyers handle voir dire because he has nothing to do with voir dire. He let his attorneys handle it and go to graduation. No, you will be here. And tell me that is not politically motivated to keep him from going out being in the
public.
Yeah,
it's totally politically motivated.
So I think.
And that's what people are seeing, right? We just talked about it a minute ago. People are seeing that.
Yeah, I think there is a case for the Supreme Court, and I don't think pure immunity, and it's certainly that moronic argument he made, is not it. For the Georgia case, it's going to be First Amendment. Is he was having a conversation? He did not direct anybody to do anything. Not that he can. POTUS doesn't have the authority to tell the Georgia Secretary of State what to do. He doesn't have the authority. He said, I need however many votes. That's not telling him to cheat. He's saying we're being cheated. Look into it. Man, I don't know. I think the argument is stupid, but I do believe that it is covered under presidential immunity on that one. I also think that it's a First Amendment issue because he was having not really a private conversation, was being taped, but he is discussing political speech. And that is the purpose of the First Amendment.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think you're right.
So deepfake AI gets an AD, an athletic director, fired.
I mean, we knew this was coming, right? We talked about it that, you know, Georgia was trying to pass a law last session where it was more political content, but they said, you know, within 60 days of election, if you created what we're going to talk about, like a video that copied another, you know, copied a political person and put a negative spin on it, then you could be found guilty. Same thing happened here outside of politics, but an athletic director created this AI deep fake video of the principal saying, I guess, racist stuff. I hadn't seen
racist and anti-Semitic stuff.
Racist and anti-Semitic stuff. And the principal's actually removed from his position at Pikesville High School after they began investigating an audio clip. Well, 3 months later, they did a probe on this. They figured out the athletic director was the one that came up with the video and fired him. I think there should be more. I think there's probably charges filed here, but I don't think just firing a guy is enough in this case.
All right. So as everybody's wondering, it's a black AD and a white principal. So that's where he's pulled a Jussie Smollett.
Okay.
Or Bubba Watson and making, look at me, they're being racist. Look at me, they're being racist. And the principal did not say any of that. If you think somebody who's smart enough to know to use artificial intelligence would have been smart enough to cover his tracks.
Yeah, you would think.
Like, you know, it came out of India somewhere, whatever. An entire country of tech support. You know, it came out of Russia, came out of China, anything. But to be able to track it back to the meathead that's the athletic director.
Yeah, this is going to turn into a bigger problem.
I didn't know high schools had athletic directors.
Oh, yeah, they all have. Yeah, if you get big enough, you've got ADs that, you know, run all the athletic programs.
Yeah, our coaches had to teach class.
Yeah, they get paid big money, too.
Well, I know head football coaches now are six-figure guys, which is amazing to me. But if they generate money for the school, I mean, that's, you know, that if that's the boosters that are paying them, you know, it's free and open society.
Yep, they generate a ton of money for school.
But yeah, this thing went all the way up to FBI, and that's if nothing else, there should be a civil suit for defamation. I mean, they should ruin this guy's life, because this isn't some kid on a lark that made a mistake.
I agree. No, this was planned and executed, and he wanted to get the principal fired. So yeah, now he's fired, but I think there needs to be more ramifications just getting fired.
And there may be. We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
Yeah, it's much like any other case that the FBI and the local police and the state police are not going to tell you, oh, this is the evidence we have. This is what we're investigating. No, they'll show up and announce charges. And they'll show up, run it by the grand jury, get an indictment, and hand it to them, and then get in front of the camera and say, this is what we have.
Yep.
So speaking of being indicted, Turks and Caicos and craziness.
Wow.
Check your carry-on.
Yeah,
I don't mean check it at the gate, but inspect your carry-on.
No, so this is an Oklahoma man facing up to 12 years in prison for having ammunition in his carry-on bag. So they didn't catch it when he flew down from the U.S. to the Turks and Caicos, but when he was coming back through security, leaving to come back to the U.S., they found this ammo. And they said in the background on this is that Turks and Caicos used to really just take the ammo up and let people go back, but earlier this year that they said they passed this new rule down there that said if you caught people with ammo, that you could be facing it for 12 years in prison.
And this was from a hunting trip. So we're talking about probably 308 ammo.
We're talking about loose rounds. Yeah. He didn't go to Turks. Yeah. It was just like he had it in his computer bag or had it in his hunting bag and he took it on vacation and they found it in Turks and Caicos. They actually let his wife, who is Valerie Watson, fly back home after a couple of days. But his name is Ryan Watson. He's still being held in Turks and Caicos. And the U.S. Embassy said, there's nothing we can do for you. You know, you're pretty much stuck down there and you've got to face whatever the legal system and the consequences of the legal system. There was another guy a while back that got caught down there with the same thing because I researched kind of the background on this. And when he came up to his sentence, they sentenced him for 5 months in prison. And the guy was talking about his 5 months of saying, like, you are outside in the hot sun, tons of disease, bug bites. And he said that prison down there was horrible to stay in.
Oh, yeah. I got a friend who went to jail in Dominican Republic, and he said, there's one window, and the biggest guy gets it.
Jeez.
Otherwise, you just sit and sweat, and if you want to eat anything besides slop, your family has to bring it to you.
Now, I don't buy that the U.S. Embassy can't do anything to help these guys, because we sure help, what's her name, Brittany Griner over in Russia try to get out. I mean, what we exchanged the, what was that guy's nickname that we traded for her?
Merchant of death. And here's the thing.
This is a...
What we can do, and of course the embassy is not, it's not going to say this is a backside of it, is start issuing travel warnings against going to Turks and Caicos.
Yes. And hit them in the pocketbook.
We can do that. And this would change. You say, look, we're going to advise American citizens not to go to Turks and Caicos. We're going to advise cruise liners to adjust their itineraries not to visit your country. And you start hitting them right there, or American citizens that just don't get off the boat if they stop at Grand Turk or whatever. Yep. We have a lot of money down at Grand Turk. Jimmy Buffett's place alone is multi-million-dollar place down there, Margaritaville.
Yep. You got to hit them in the pocketbook, though, and they'll change their tune on this. But you're right. I mean, if you're going outside this country, and I did it flying this week to Dallas, because sometimes I'll put my pistol in my computer bag. Man, I was dumping it upside down, just making sure I didn't have anything stuck in it.
Get a separate range bag.
I know, but I just don't always have that on.
So this is a good time to remind you, these are our opinions, not those of anyone not on the show or any respective company for which we may work, own, or otherwise associate ourselves with on a regular or irregular basis. Also, you can find other episodes and relevant stories over at thegeorgiavirtue.com. Kenny, you got the mule.
Yeah, and this is really for two reasons this week. President Biden is the mule this week. He had his Ron Burgundy moment last week where he was talking on stage. I think he was up in Pittsburgh. But he says, he's just reading from the teleprompter, and I'm not sure why you have to read this from the teleprompter, but he said, 4 more years, pause. Because the teleprompter was obviously telling him to pause after saying 4 more years, and he just reads it out. I mean,
yeah. Burgundy?
Question
Fred
mark.
Fred Willard was great at that movie.
Yeah, but yeah,
okay. So, who put the question mark after? You know, he'll read whatever's on the teleprompter.
Yeah, so Biden says 4 more years, pause. But also this week, I don't know if you saw this, but yeah, sometimes you see President Biden walking out to Marine One, and he looks real stiff, and you know he looks pitiful walking out there, honestly. They've actually put walkers around him now, where anytime he leaves the White House and goes out to Marine One, he's surrounded by people to kind of keep him going in the right direction and to also shield him from the cameras. So
he looks like he is telling himself left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. And he's making a concerted effort to do that. And I understand he's older, but look, he's not much older than my father. And my father built an outdoor kitchen and is still has all his faculties and is physically in great shape. Besides, he had a heart attack, a decade ago or so, but he keeps in good shape. He is up on modern technology and all that stuff. I know that because I get texts and emails from him constantly. but he's with it. He knows what's going on. Biden doesn't.
No, he has no clue what's going on.
I would love to hack TOTUS, teleprompter of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to hack his teleprompter and just put, sort of like they did in, Anchorman, go F yourself, America, and just walk away like, oh, that went well.
Yeah, I think he would read it, honestly. I don't know why.
He would read it. All right, the world's worst press secretary survives a coup attempt.
Oh, my goodness. How about this one? Yeah, this was a story, and she is terrible. I don't know if you've watched Karine Jean-Pierre talk before, but it sounds like, sometime in the middle of last year, then there was a coup attempt, not a coup attempt, kind of an inside plan to sort of push her out as press secretary. So she had people inside the White House and allies trying to nudge her out of the door. And this story was reported by the Washington Post. You know, her background, she's the first black and first openly gay person to hold that press secretary, which if you've watched a press conference on her, she tells everybody that almost every single day. But yeah, this plan failed last year. She must be pretty cagey because she stayed on.
Thank God she doesn't do CrossFit. Thank God she's not a vegan, because she'd have to start the press conference with, "I'm black, gay, I do CrossFit, and I'm a vegan." Yeah, do you have any questions? I mean,
I know. Yeah, she tells people that regularly about it, though.
If I didn't see her, I wouldn't know she was black, because I don't care. If they didn't tell me that she was gay, I wouldn't know, because I don't care.
Yeah, you just don't care, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't register to me. What putting this in the article tells me that she's 100% a DEI hire.
Oh, 100%. Well, I mean, Kamala Harris was 100% a DEI hire.
Well, she's an idiot.
And she's probably going to be the next president, right?
Yeah, I don't think the press secretary is an idiot. I don't think she's dumb. I think she has a really, really, really difficult, it's a horrible job.
Oh, I think she's probably got the hardest job in government. I mean, can you imagine getting up there and having to, like when Joe Biden says 4 more years, pause, had to explain that away? Yeah, I mean, she's got an incredibly difficult job.
She has to stand up there and go, he was trying to tell them to pause before chanting. He wanted to get it to another sentence. No, honey, that's not what that, no, sweetheart, no.
No, that's not what happened. No.
But that's the sort of stuff she has to go. Is he mumbles incoherently, and she'll go like, "Oh, that was a bad mic." All four of them.
I know.
Or he walks off, shakes hands with air, and go, "Well, he was supposed to have somebody right beside him, and he was going to shake his hand, and he had practiced the speech that way." So that could happen to anybody. Yep. He falls down over a sandbag at a graduation at Air Force Academy. Oh, that sandbag wasn't supposed to be there. That could happen to anybody.
Yep.
No, if I fall down, my friends laugh. When you fall down and people don't laugh, and everybody runs over to pick you up, that's when you know you're old and feeble.
Yeah. And they said that a normal press secretary up there only stays with the president 12 to 18 months because it's such a difficult job, you know, toting the president. I don't care who the president is, right? It's still a tough job. But yeah, she's staying there longer than most.
Well, here's the other thing that goes along with being the press secretary is once you have that credential, the media outlets are lined up around the corner to start writing big checks for you.
Yep.
So, you know, look at Dana Perino, who I really like Dana Perino. But when she left the White House, I mean, she got a cushy job at Fox. She's got her own show, her own podcast. She's on The Five, and she's a guest on a dozen different shows. Besides being very cute and looks like she could fit in your pocket. She's like 5'2".
I've never thought that she could fit in my pocket, but I got you.
Okay, fine. If you want to take her on vacation, you can put her in the overhead bin.
No, that's pretty funny.
But yeah, it's a crappy, crappy, crappy job. But and she's doing a crappy job of it. But really, it's garbage in, garbage out. As far as I'm concerned, that the president keeps mumbling and putting out garbage, and I wonder if she doesn't have to take like, you know, mood enhancers or something. Like she's off camera behind the big door before going in the room. She's got a bottle of Jack Daniels and a handful of happy pills. Like, whew, all right,
I know
we're gonna do this again.
Yeah, I can't imagine a job. I really can't. But I mean, you choose to do it. So
who was Trump's original one? That was the Navy officer. He was hilarious.
I know. Because Sean Spicer, is that who it was?
Maybe. Then yeah, he would get red faced and just they would ask a stupid question. He would cut their eyes. He tried to mimic Trump a little too much.
Yeah.
But he would just, I mean, he would cut his eyes at reporters and get angry and stuff like that. And to me, as somebody who loves chaos, I found it friggin' hilarious. That they were asking stupid questions. He'd be like, "That's a stupid question."
Yeah. Speaking of Trump, when's he announcing his VP? Will he wait till the convention to do that? Or I wonder what point he, not that I don't think it matters one bit, but I wonder who he will I wonder what the timeline is on him picking a VP candidate.
I don't know. He needs to be able to do campaign events to really announce his VP pick. And I think the pick is in. I think within the campaign, I think Trump and the pick knows who it's going to be. I'm thinking Tim Scott. I think within the campaign, the inner circle knows, but he can't do any events right now. He's tied up the trial.
Yeah, he's tied how up in the hell court is he too much?
How is he going to go to the convention in 2 months? I mean,
yeah, I think most of the trials will be over now. He could be sentenced in New York if he's found guilty by that time, and
have a press conference with him looking through the window with the little wire in the glass and holding the phone to his ear.
I think it'll be the final straw for people in the United States if the president is sentenced to jail in New York. I keep waiting on that powder keg to kind of blow, but that would have to be, I mean, and I don't know. I mean, all of us have to work, right? So, I mean, we're not very good at getting angry at stuff, but I just can't imagine people are going to sit by while he gets sentenced to prison.
I have no idea. So if he's elected, does Kathy Hochul have to pardon him?
I don't know. Maybe so.
We've talked about before. All I can think of is Goodfellas when they're in prison and they're not actually in prison. They have girlfriends come and go, and they're sitting there making spaghetti and all that in their jail cells.
Right.
All right, Kenny. As we're winding down, what are your closing thoughts?
You know, got this election coming up, so it's going to be interesting to see who wins all around the state. There's not a lot of contested elections, you know that. There's a few. We've got some contested sheriff races around the state, not a lot of state rep contested races, not a lot of state senate races. Congressional district down in Georgia, or congressional district down in CD3 is contested, but it's going to be an interesting month to see what happens throughout the state of Georgia and see who's going to be in office next.
Yeah, we have a sheriff's race down here. I did interviews with both candidates. Hopefully it should be up the same time that this podcast is up. I've already got the audio down. Mm-hmm. Both guys are qualified. They have worked together for more than two decades. In fact, they played football together. I think they went to elementary school together. These guys have known each other pretty much their entire lives. There's no animosity. You know, we talked about that round table. It started with a handshake, and when they got done, they hugged and all that stuff. These guys are both qualified. I have my pick, the guy that I'm supporting. But if his opponent wins, I was talking to my post commissioner, Keith Dunn, and we were just kind of shooting the stuff, you know, and he goes, it's a shame that somebody has to lose. I said, well, the good thing is it won't be the county because both men have come up under the leadership of our current sheriff who's retiring, Gary Gulledge. So they're both kind of cut in his image, and they both have their own, you know, leadership style they want to bring to the job. But it's really impressive to see two gentlemen running for office that have nothing bad to say about the other. There's no name calling, you're a doo-doo head or anything else. It is two guys that absolutely respect each other and both have a different vision of where they want to take the office. And what each of them feels is the county needs, but there's nothing, they said nothing negative about each other. They've been friends for decades.
Yeah, that's good. And we've been very cordial down here in the county I live in. If people are talking about me behind my back, I haven't heard it. And I'm not really talking about the two guys that I'm running against. So it's been kind of nice to have a good election.
So on that note, I want to give a big thank you to Eric Cumbie, our editor, to my part of this endeavor, Representative Emeritus Ken Pullen. I'm Dave Roberts. We'll talk to you next week. Catch me howling at the moon. Try to catch me howling at the moon. Try to catch me howling.
passion. Won't stop fighting to the very end.